All right, so let me jump in here and start the monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. I'll remind you guys that every single day right now, the Southern Immediate Care chain of clinics is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. And Southern Immediate Care in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, will see all ages, and they are the sponsor every single day of the Right Side Way. So it's Memorial Day weekend, right? Thank you to all you who served, and thank you, though, for the memories of those who've gone before us that gave the ultimate sacrifice. Look, there's a story that I think too many Alabamians don't know. It's a story about how young men from every county, every corner, every corn crib and country road in this state answered a call. When they did it, they actually changed the state of Alabama forever. And I'm not being overly dramatic. It's true. A statue stands right now in front of Union Station in Montgomery. Union Station in Montgomery has a statue of a World War I soldier wearing a doughboy helmet carrying his dead comrade. It's a very somber statue, and it stands in honor of the men of Alabama's 167th Infantry who volunteered to enter the lines during the first war to end all wars. And their story is remarkable. Look, as we enter Memorial Day weekend, it's a story that needs to be told because they not only changed our state, in some ways, I'll be honest with you, it seems they actually changed the world, these boys from Alabama. So mustered in 1836 to fight in the Seminole Wars in Florida, the men of Alabama's militia were originally known as the 4th Alabama. In the years before the Civil War, they were like a home guard of sorts. And during the American Civil War, they became officially designated as the 4th Alabama Infantry. They fought at Seven Pines, Cold Harbor, Chickamauga, Bull Run. They lost 87 men at Gettysburg, fighting at Little Round Top. After the Civil War, they were reconstituted as an Alabama National Guard unit. They remained known as the 4th Alabama for a number of years until the early part of the 20th century, when Mexican bandit Pancho Villa came across the Mexican border and the 4th Alabama was activated and it was rebranded as the 167th Infantry and it was sent to the U.S. border. They spent the better part of a year guarding and patrolling the border, but when the U.S. decided to officially join the war in Europe for World War I, well, Douglas MacArthur was tasked with forming a new infantry division from various guard units. And he handpicked the men of Alabama as one of the best, and he cobbled them together with units from 22 other states. Well, this amalgam of units from all over represented a huge swath of America, and because of their multi-state flavor, the new division took on the name the 42nd Division and was nicknamed the Rainbow Division. The boys of Alabama were right in the middle of it all. Young men who couldn't read, who had never been anywhere, were now sent first to New York City and then sailed across to Europe and joined the fray as a major part of the Allied forces. And they became legends. The Alabama boys were the heat, not because they said so, but because everybody else said so. And because, truthfully, history says so. In one of their first major engagements, the 167th moved into camouflaged defensive positions in a sector known as the Champagne on the night of July 4th, 1918. They lay under cover for 10 whole days. On the night of the attack, F Company from Gadsden, Echo Company from Decatur were dug in on the left flank, G Company from Ozark and H Company from Alexander City were dug in on the right flank. The 167th went on to fight a bloody two-day fight against the German onslaught, and they held, and they actually gave back more than they got. The battle was one of the turning points of the war. Some regard it as the turning point of the war. And the 167th losses for the battle were 83 dead and 212 wounded, all Alabamians. Though the 42nd Division was actually made up of men from many states, somehow or another the whole thing began to be identified with Alabama in the Champagne. France's Marshal Foch, he himself dubbed the men of Alabama the Tigers, and it was said that the people of France had learned to love what they called the Alabama. Company F out of Gadsden had actually distinguished itself throughout the battle, was recognized by the French government by being awarded a Croix de Guerre with one palm. It was the only unit in the 167th to receive that honor. But their legacy, though, the true legacy of the 167th, the boys from Alabama, came at a place called Croix Rouge Farm just a few days later. With only days to regroup after the battle in the Champagne, the rest of the Rainbow Division and the 167th were mustered out and moved by train to a place called the Chateau Thierry. And as they marched to a relief in place of other American units, the story goes that somebody saw the 167th commander, Colonel William Screws, marching with his men, chomping on a cigar. He was asked, "Where are you going, Bill?" He replied, "Damn if I know, but I'm on my way." The fighting was fierce. The 167th wound up becoming the lead element at Croix Rouge Farm. It charged with fixed bayonets, and what happened became something that was taught in the infantry school for years thereafter. The official Rainbow Division history says this. It says, quote, "The capture of the Croix Rouge Farm and its clearings belongs to that list of military exploits which cannot fail to excite the admirations of those who hear the tale because of the determination and the gallantry displayed." Father Francis P. Duffy, who was with the 167th New York Regiment, he said, "Croix Rouge Farm was the last stand of the Germans south of the Ourcq." In another speech, he also said, "There was no more gallant and sustained attack during the entire war than the taking of the Croix Rouge Farm." General Plummer, an American general, when it was all said and done, he said, "In a time of war, you send me all the Alabamians you can find. But in a time of peace, for God's sake, you can send them anywhere else." The boys were rowdy. The boys were fighters. They were country boys who had done good. And to this day, the same statue that I told you stands right now in front of Union Station in Montgomery, it also stands on the battlefield at Croix Rouge over in France. It's a testament to the men of Alabama who turned the tide of the battle, who some say actually turned the tide of the war, and maybe turned the tide of the world during what was then the largest war in human history. 616 soldiers from Alabama's 167th Infantry died in Europe. Most folks don't know that the 167th actually still continues today as part of the Alabama National Guard. I was proud to command that battalion for several years, and until recently, they actually wore a special tab on their uniform that said 4th Alabama right above their unit patch. But I told you earlier, they changed our state, and they did. So many of those young men had never been outside their own counties. Many of them had no more than just a modicum of education. They came from every walk of life. Some of them had never seen or heard about the places where they went. And they saw the world. But the world saw them. And many of those men returned to Alabama with some money in their pocket, having seen the world outside their once small sphere of life, and they became captains of industry, leaders of communities, ranchers and farmers, businessmen and judges. Some of them continued in military service. They brought the bigger picture of the world back to their small communities, and they put their experiences to work. And in the days after the boys from Alabama got back, we saw Alabama grow into an industrial powerhouse. Pittsburgh of the South, they called it. And some say the men of the 167th were part of the driving force that took Alabama into the modern era. When the men returned home, there were parades and celebrations like nobody had ever seen. I encourage you, go online right now. You can look it up. Look up the Alabama 167th Infantry World War I. You'll see the old photos of the massive welcomes they received when they returned home. Right here in Etowah County where I am, Rainbow City, Alabama is named for the Rainbow Division. In Birmingham, there's a bridge dedicated as the Rainbow Division Viaduct. And hanging in the conference room at my law firm is an old-style panoramic photo of all the men of Gadsden's F Company who made it back. They had gathered up upon their return near the old courthouse in downtown, and two of the men in the picture were wearing Distinguished Service Crosses on their uniform. Framed with the photo is one of their original infantry branch insignias and an officer insignia, and a World War I victory medal in one of their original patches. And if you see a Rainbow Division patch today, you'll notice it's only half a rainbow. It said the division lost so many men, they decided to cut their patch in half in honor of those they left behind. So yeah, as we hit Memorial Day, let me just let you know. The men of Alabama's 167th Infantry Regiment. There are books written about them. One of my favorites is called Send the Alabamians. They are descendants of the 4th Alabama. They earned a place in history, and as we spend time remembering those who gave their all for this country, I think it's only fitting that we here at home remember that there's a unit that not only gave so much, but when they did, they represented us as an entire state with boys from every small town in the state. The 167th Infantry, 4th Alabama, drive forward. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. That's some history, man, and I'm telling you, that's some serious history. That's Alabama right there. That's who we are. It's a state that still to this day values those veterans who have served and those who have served to the ultimate sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you right now, the 167th Infantry, the 4th Alabama, they were indeed the heat. And there are statues built to them, bridges named after them, cities named after them, and maybe you didn't even realize. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.